This morning we're going to look at a portion of Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. This question will be nostalgic for some in the room. It will be utterly confusing for others in the room. What's the favorite snapshot you have in your house? The favorite snapshot you have in your house. Now, for those of you who might find that nostalgic, you know exactly what a snapshot is. For those of you that it's utterly confusing, let me put it this way. What's the favorite picture on your phone? You see, there was a time when we didn't all have phones that had really, really good lenses. And we had these things called cameras. And you put film in it. And you didn't have a way to see if that was a good shot you just took. You kind of went with the 12 or 24 or 36 exposures that were on the film, and you used them up, and you took them out of the camera, and you either took them to the drugstore or a little kiosk in somebody's parking lot, and you handed them over, and they went away. And you came back a few days later, and the pictures that you had taken were in an envelope. And if you were like me, a lot of them ended up having your finger in front of the lens, or a picture of the ground or the tops of your shoes, right? You had no way of deleting those and go, I don't want to keep that one. Too late. You've already had it developed. But what are the snapshots, the photographs, the pictures that mean something to you? What are they? As I go in some of your homes, I see those. I see those. If you go in the offices of many of the staff here at church, you see photographs, things that mean something. In Mark 10, in the portion we're looking at today, we see, as we do in all of the Gospels, snapshots. This is a snapshot of a man named Bartimaeus, who had a deep, deep need. And out of faith, he called out to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question, much better than what's your favorite snapshot, I promise. But together this morning, let's look at this snapshot of faith of a man called Bartimaeus. Before we turn to Scripture, would you join me as we pray? Father, we are grateful for the gift of Scripture. We're grateful for each and every snapshot of faith contained in your word. May you use Mark's gospel and the snapshot of Bartimaeus today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to speak to us so that we might know what it means to live a life of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark 10, beginning at verse 42. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentile lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must also be slave of all. For even then the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him not to be silent. And he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. May God bless the hearing and the reading of his word. Jesus is on this long, long journey to Jerusalem. The four Gospels tell the story of the long journey to Jerusalem. Mark is a gospel of action. It's fast. Mark, the shortest gospel, packs a lot. Just in the 10th chapter, on this journey to Jerusalem, we find Peter declaring Jesus as the Christ in verse 8. A rich man has walked away sad because Jesus told him the way to inherit eternal life was to give away everything he had. People have been healed. The disciples have sought power, and three times Jesus has predicted his death and nobody got it. That's a lot of action. The Hollywood writers who are on strike could make an entire season of a TV series off just that much of the first chapter. But here's Jesus. We're told that he and his disciples, after Jesus instructed them that he came to serve, right above my head, way up there, the story's on the wall. He came to serve. And then he went to Jericho. By this time, everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd. And I suspect it wasn't a quiet crowd where Jesus went. Whatever Jesus did in Jericho that day, he was leaving. And as he was leaving Jericho, on that particular road, there was a man named Bartimaeus, and he was sitting where Bartimaeus sat. You could kind of say that's what Bartimaeus did, because Bartimaeus had lost his sight. Do you notice Mark said, when Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want?" He said, "Help me recover my sight." He knew what it meant to see. He had lost it. And he said, "Help me recover what I lost." There sat Bartimaeus where he was day after day after day because he had lost his sight. There were very few other options for Bartimaeus. Imagine not having your sight, sitting on that road, and you hear commotion. You start to sense there are other people joining you on the side of the road, and the commotion gets louder, and you hear somebody say, it's him, it's him, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. I suspect Bartimaeus had already heard something about Jesus. If you can't see, you hear really well. And when Bartimaeus realizes it's Jesus, he begins to yell, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." What Bartimaeus yells is akin to what Peter confessed earlier in chapter 10. "Who do they say I am? Who do you say I am?" Another good question. And Peter said, "You're the Christ. You are the one we have waited for, the one we've been looking for." And Bartimaeus, in calling out to Jesus, "Son of David," he's saying, "You are the Messiah. And you have the power to show me mercy." People ignored Bartimaeus. Probably be easy to do. Here comes Jesus. It's a big deal. But over the din of the chaos, Jesus said, "Bring that person to me. Bring that person to me." We can tell that they probably disregarded Bartimaeus by the response. "Hey, he's calling for you. Get up." And we're told that Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he went to Jesus. And Jesus asked something that is astounding. He asked great questions throughout his ministry. But he, with Bartimaeus in front of him, he said, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Imagine that. Imagine Jesus standing before you and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" We kind of take for granted that Joe led us in the prayers of the people this morning, but prayer is open to us. We can pray and God hears that prayer. As I reflect on Bartimaeus, I marvel at his response, but I marvel at the fact that through prayer, we have that same opportunity to go before God at any moment through the power of the Holy Spirit and say, "This is what I want. This is what I need." But I'm also convicted of how shallow my prayers often are. You ever find yourself there? I mean, sometimes, if I'm honest, I treat God like a genie in the bottle. Some cosmic Santa Claus, a vending machine I can go up, and I expect what I want to come out. And if that pack of chips gets hung up, I'm going to pound that vending machine, right? Because that's what I want. Bartimaeus could have asked for anything. It's not the first time Jesus has asked this question. Just in Mark 10, if we go back, James and John, two of his disciples, come to him and he asked the same question. "What do you want me to do for you?" You remember what they said? In your kingdom, could one of us sit on your right and one of us sit on your left? In many ways, that's akin to, "I know I didn't study for this test. Could I pass it, please?" But James and John come to Jesus. He says, "What do you want me to do for you? We'd like to have the seats of power and privilege by you for eternity." And Jesus said, "Can you drink from the cup that I'm about to drink from?" He's already predicted he's going to die. Right over their heads. But it's a reflection of their heart. Because God in the flesh is standing before them and he says, "What do you want me to do for you? I'd like some power and prestige, please. That's what I really want. I'd really like that." And Jesus said, "You couldn't handle it." because you don't understand. And here's Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus could have easily said the same thing. He could have had some shallow, self-serving, idolatrous request based on him being the center of the universe. But he says to Jesus, "Help me recover my sight." If I were Bartimaeus and I had spent years sitting by that road, depending on the charity and the mercy of others, and I suspect he found little of either one, I hope I would have asked for that same deep need. But Bartimaeus was already halfway there as he yelled out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He had already shown, "I have the faith in you that you can do it. I have the faith in you that you can offer me what no other thing in the world as I know it today has been able to do. You can meet my deepest need and transform my life." And Jesus said, "Your faith made you well." And Bartimaeus, we're told, could see, and he followed Jesus. It's always important when we find a name in the Gospels. Think about how many people are nameless. Bartimaeus is named because he continued to follow Jesus. His life was transformed, and he continued to live a life of faith. So as Mark writes that gospel, that story of Jesus for the early church, he names Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, because they would have known when they read Mark's account, "I know that guy. I know that guy." Bartimaeus was transformed because of his faith. Because he was willing to be humble. We don't get too much more humble in this life till we reach the point of not being able to do for ourselves and we're dependent on somebody else. Bartimaeus was there. He had reached that point, and humbly he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." A snapshot of faith, I'm convinced, always begins with humbleness. Always begins with humble. A component of a snapshot of faith is humility. I think the second thing that we see in Bartimaeus that contributes to the mosaic of the picture of faith is that he was bold. His whole life, he had encountered no one else who could give him his sight back. But when he's before Jesus, he says, "Help me recover my sight." That's bold right there. That's bold. A snapshot of faith includes a boldness that we go before the throne of grace with. We don't ask for the, you know, driving to Montreat yesterday, there was a billboard that said $750 million is the Powerball jackpot. I'll guarantee you there are a lot of people this week that have prayed, "You know, God, if you'd give me the winning numbers, that $750 mil could really help me out." It's not their deepest need. It's going to be their worst nightmare. But Bartimaeus knew his deepest need. And he went to Jesus and he boldly said, "I believe you can do this." And as we live a life of faith today, We need to boldly proclaim just that. In a world of brokenness, in a world of darkness, in a world of injustice, there's one thing that's going to change that. It's not who we vote for. It's not who's on the ballot in a year. That's not going to change a whole lot. But Jesus can change this world. Jesus can transform our lives and our world. As Christians, do we live with that boldness? And finally, the last piece of mosaic in a snapshot of a life of faith is evidence that you've been transformed. Bartimaeus could have gotten up, done his thing. Whew, glad that's over. Let me go back to my life. No, he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus, and the evidence suggests he continued to follow Jesus because the early church would have known him. Does your faith today live a life marked by a transformed life? It might look like that within these walls. It might look like that when you pull on campus and get out of the car. Because very often what we go is, well, okay, we've got to straighten up now. I grew up going here. I know what the conversation on the way to church is like. Don't you do that in church. Right? We straighten up. But does your life show a witness to the transforming power of Jesus when you're in line at the grocery store? When the cashier's having a rough day? Does your life show the transforming power of Jesus when you're sitting in the doctor's office? Does it show the transforming power of Jesus when you're sitting at dinner tonight with your family? Or you're having that hard conversation with a coworker this week? In Bartimaeus, we see a snapshot of faith. Many of the snapshots in our homes remind us of things. It reminds us of the people we love, the times that have been meaningful. The snapshots of faith that we find in the pages of Scripture can serve the same purpose, to remind us that we have been called by saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and we proclaim Jesus as our Lord, that we're called to a humble faith, to know that everything we've tried in this life to better ourselves or get ourselves out of the jams we put ourselves in have come to nothing, because Jesus, as God in the flesh, holds the power to transform our lives. Are we living that humbleness? Are we living boldly by remembering that Jesus can do it? And are we reflecting a transformed life everywhere we go? Because everywhere we go, we're called to be a follower of Jesus. What are the snapshots of faith that you have before you? I hope at some point this week you'll think about that mosaic of those snapshots. I hope you'll think about Bartimaeus. And that one of your prayers this week might be that the Holy Spirit of the living God might make you, in your snapshot of faith, humble and bold and that your life might reflect the transforming power of the God of all creation in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you that in Bartimaeus, as in so many of the episodes in Jesus' ministry, we see snapshots of faith. May we be humble in our faith and humble in knowing that you are the author of all that we have in this life. May we be bold in coming to you with not only our deepest needs, but the deepest needs of a broken and hurting world. For it's only in you that healing and wholeness will come. And may each of us, in our families, in the places that we work, and in the places that we play, may we each live before the world transformed lives that point to the grace of the one who came to serve, Jesus, who is our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.